Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
As a fact of anti-immigrant, anti-refugee, anti-black, it's very real in our country. All we really know is that one treatment for the Americans at Emory, one treatment for the American in Nebraska, one treatment for Eric in
Shut up. Get
Dallas.
Him off my show. What a demagogue. Can you believe Jesse Jackson? We know he was perhaps the worst American in American history. If you had a constellation of the worst people in American history, would he not be in the top three? He'd win the prize. Now he's jumping in on the Ebola epidemic and saying that we didn't treat the West African well enough. He didn't get the proper medical care, the poor West African. And he trained a relative of the African who brought us Ebola, Josephus Weeks. Listen to clip number 7 if you really want to get angry and sick. Listen to this.
Well,
listen.
Yeah, we're being mistreated. We're being, again, stigmatized. We go in there, we're being, like, you know, ostracized. Like, you don't, you know, like, we didn't belong there. The hospital staff initially. We call and, you know, get the phone hang up on. We stay on hold for 30 minutes.
Oh,
sometimes
you're the only
call,
one.
We get bounced around.
How they know you were black? How they know you were black on the phone? I don't believe this. So we have an Ebola epidemic out of control. We have a doofus for a president. The CDC director should be arrested for what he's doing. Lying through his... through his teeth. Why am I getting so excited? One man cannot save this world. I can't do it. I can't do it. A friend of mine wrote, and he said, Michael, I just read your book, and he says, your prose is very clear, like Hemingway. Short, hard-hitting sentences that cause electrical sparks in the brain. Connects the dots in a new coherent way. Thanks, Dr. Sarfati. The fact of the matter is, my prose is very short and hard-hitting. And when I listen to a creep like Jesse Jackson trying to capitalize on Ebola by having the audacity to say that the man was mistreated because he was black and an African? It's unbelievable to me. But this is what happens when you have demagogues like him and Al Sharpton, and I might say Eric Holder and Barack Obama running the country. Wherever I turn, the problems seem to be too large. We see a Pentagon with a spokesmouth that is so embarrassing, Rear Admiral John Kirby. I have no idea what his background is. I assume the man once flew an airplane. I don't know what he did. The man is an embarrassment. He gets up there today and he says that the Islamic State is going to take Kobani and may even take Baghdad, but we can't do anything about it. And he says the airstrikes are not going to do it alone. That's because Obama is not using airstrikes at all. They're show strikes. They're not airstrikes. They're show strikes. Because he wants ISIS to take over Iraq. And then they want to see Syria fall to the anti-Christians. That's exactly what's going on, in my opinion. It's too much for one man to handle. You remember the book Atlas Shrugged? Well, I'm not Atlas, and I'm not shrugging. But there's only so much of a burden any man can take. And let me tell you something. We'll reach a point. Maybe we have reached the point of no return. I knew that liberalism was a mental disorder, and I knew it a long time ago. I saw it in some old friends of mine. I most especially saw it in liberals who were my relatives who I don't speak to anymore. I knew they were brainwashed. They were middle class. They did well in America, yet they identified with my grandfather who came here with nothing, a few cents in his pocket. They all thought that they were illegal immigrants, or rather at that time legal immigrants, landing at Ellis Island and hating the white man. They've never changed. Look at Boca Raton. Look at the area around Boca Raton, filled with people living off the fat of the land, never did better in their lives, and they hate America. How do you figure that? Now we have Ebola, and we see the most incompetent administration in history. It is so criminal that it borders on the insane. And what are they doing to stop the Ebola epidemic? What would you do to stop the Ebola epidemic? Let's start with common sense. You'd stop all flights from Western Africa. That's a no-brainer. Several nations have done so. And as I've said on the Savage Nation for the last 3 days, the surrounding African third world nations have stopped flights from the plague-ridden nations into theirs. What does that tell us? It tells us that third world dictatorships in Africa have more intelligent leadership than we have from the White House. They have smarter leaders than we do. It's common sense. You stop all flights. You don't let people come in from those countries. you prohibit all travel in and out, or you send aid workers who want to go there, but you don't let them back in unless they have cleared the protocols of not having any symptoms of the disease. But it doesn't seem to be taking, because we have a psychosis in the political structure that will kill all of us. And I don't have an answer for you right now. I got to tell you this. Yeah, I wrote Stop the Coming Civil War. But if anything is going to trigger a civil war in this country, it's going to be an epidemic like this. The people will not take this endlessly. They're not going to send their children to school and see them come home with a paralytic virus that was brought in this summer by Obama with his infected children on the trains. That's it. Go to my website. Take a look at the article if you think I'm making it up. The virus that I'm talking about that is infecting our children is a result of the immigrant children that have been placed all around America in the schools, etc. Not only are the children getting it, and one of them died in New Jersey the other day, part of a triplet. Heartbreaking. You didn't read about that because it would violate the protocols of the liberal agenda. But it's directly related. The genetics are related in the viral, the virus genetics are related to an endemic virus in Honduras, Central America. It was brought in by the children. So if you have a government that is so criminal that it will not even protect the population from epidemics, then what might happen next is anyone's guess. Okay? Now, I could open this up to you. I know you're dying to call about these topics, about the Middle East and about Ebola and why Obama wants to bring the disease in or is doing nothing to stop it. It comes to the same thing. It doesn't matter whether he wants it here or doesn't want it here. He may as well be bringing it in because he's not stopping it from coming in. Pentagon sees Baghdad at risk of Islamic State takeover, expects Kobani to fall. They want it to fall. Everywhere you turn, there is a disaster as a result of the Obama administration. You say, well, good, we know that. What else is new? Well, what else is new is that the Democrats will not let go of their agenda, no matter what happens, even an epidemic that's going to kill people, will not help them change their mind. Are you telling me that Debbie Wasserman Schultz in Florida can ever admit that she's a psychotic that belongs in Creedmoor Mental Hospital? Are you telling me that Harry Reid will ever let go of his greedy little paws, will ever let go of a dollar that comes his way? Are you telling me that Dianne Feinstein, the head of the Senate Intelligence Committee, listen to that one. Here we have a raging epidemic that's killing people, and this moron, Dianne Feinstein, has nothing to say. What is she doing on the Senate Intelligence Committee? The fact of the matter is, the approval rating is at 7% of Congress. 7%. It means that we have an illegitimate government. I was laying in bed this morning thinking of Abraham Lincoln, a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. I said, now we have a government of who? Of the special interests, by the special interests, and for the special interests. A government of thieves, a government of criminals. And they're not protecting ourselves nor themselves. Perhaps they're not even able to do so. And now I want to go on to the book and what's going on in the stores for a minute. Many of you are saying you can't find it. That's actually good news. I don't think you know what's happening. It's a national phenomenon. I just got a letter from my publisher minutes ago. And forgive me, I'm so excited by the news and I'm excited by what's going on with the book that I have to tell you about it. Dear Michael Savage, your book, Stop the Coming Civil War, is selling so well that we're on our way to a fifth printing today. Let me repeat that for those of you who think that the liberals have killed me. For those of you who think that Fox News has destroyed me, the book is on the way to a fifth printing. Here is a recap of the sales history thus far for your listeners to understand that the book is not being buried by and large. The book sold so well on Barnes & Noble before publication that they increased their initial buy by 40%. When it went on sale, they printed another 10,000 at that time. Michael Savage, tell your listeners we have ordered another 25,000 books today that will arrive in the stores early next week. We're also going to order a fifth printing today. Are you listening carefully? Michael, tell your people that when the book hits the New York Times bestseller list next week, Stop the Coming Civil War will be placed in front of the store and on the bestseller tables and walls everywhere. That's, by the way, next week is the telling point. That's when you're going to go in. Michael, please keep your foot on the gas. Boast about the five printings and how every bookstore in America is chasing this and can't keep up with the demand. I don't know if you know that. You're not going to read it anywhere, but you heard it on the Savage Nation. And now I'm going to ask you, the listeners, to do something for America. I thought about this. The only people who need to be reached are the Republicans. And they have not yet come to me and said, you know, Savage, we know that you've criticized us a lot over the years, and we understand that. We're too moderate for you. You're an extremist. But we understand that your entire thesis in your book is that in order to stop the coming civil war, the Republicans have to win the Senate in less than 30 days. So we understand and appreciate what you're doing for us. So we're going to distribute the book for you. Not one Republican has called this show. Not one Republican has written the publisher. I'm going to ask the listeners who are members of Republican groups in America, little Republican talk groups or members of Republican parties here and there that meet, I'm going to ask you to go out and buy the book for your friends in the Republican group and tell them it's in their best interest to spread the message, not mine. And that's a little bit of the book update on the Savage Nation. We can talk about Ebola, ISIS, the Middle East, the book sales. It's a national phenomenon that you're not going to see on Fox News. I am banished from Fox News as I am banished from Britain. Yes, you heard me. It is a closed shop. I am not allowed on Fox News, but because of you, my audience, the book is raging and it's out of control. And I wouldn't say that it's spreading like a virus. It's spreading. It's a viral spread, as though, is what's happening. It's a word of mouth thing. I'm very excited, and maybe my words are not as smooth as they ought to be. I've been working three times harder than normal. It's the last time I'm ever going to do this. And I have a picture of my mother, deceased now many years, on my broadcast table. Here it is. And she's looking at me, and she's saying, Michael, why are you doing this? Why are you working so hard? Michael, give yourself a break. You don't have to do this, Michael. You've done it already. You've done all you can for America. Isn't it time for you to take a break? Isn't it time for you to just relax? Isn't it time for you to breathe a little? Isn't it time for you to enjoy your life? And Mama Savage, I want to say this to you in heaven. No, I cannot rest until America is on the road to recovery. Mom, it's the way I've been since I'm a little boy. You know about my intensity. You know how crazy I was as a kid. You know that from the time I started to build model airplanes in your little apartment, you couldn't even get my mind off the model airplane once I put my mind to building that model airplane. There was glue all over that table. There was glue all over my fingers. The balsa wood was everywhere. And you used to say, Michael, back off. Take it easy. Stop building those model planes already. Well, to me, this show, every day that I get up here, is like building a model plane. I'm 100,000% into this show. It's the most important thing in my life outside of my family. I live for this. I breathe it. I sleep it. I dream it. And with your help and God's will, we will take back America in the next 30 days. I have some amazing calls. Do I have time for Bill on 5? Bill on 5. Bill, go ahead, please. You're on WBAP. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Mike, I first want to quote Jackie Gleason and say, pal, you're the greatest. I have two quick points. One, I thought it was funny yesterday that Glenn Beck on Fox News kind of co-opted your book title a little bit. He says we're living in a cold civil war. I thought that was kind of funny.
Look, it's sad to listen to Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck is a clueless, you know, high school dropout who got very lucky playing the game of being a conservative, and I shouldn't even talk about him. He's a sad sack. He's a pathetic man, and all the money in the world can never give him what he really wants, which is self-respect. That's all I could say about it, Bill. At the end of the day, all he really wants is self-respect, not the respect of millions, and it's something he will never have. And, Bill, thank you for listening so intently. That brings us to 19 minutes after the hour. It's the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. This song goes out to the four horsewomen of the apocalypse in the White House whose agenda is coming apart at the seams. To the Muslim sisterhood running the country, this song goes out to you from the Savage Nation. Although your Flood America with Immigrants agenda is kind of derailed now, and Bring It All Down, Girls seems to be hit a stone wall, girls, I say don't cry yet because it's not over till it's over, and I'm not Casey Stengel. The fact of the matter is the liberal agenda is now being seen for what it is. And what's even worse is that even though people are dying and the disease is spreading, they're continuing to spread the big lie that it's not going to spread. It's amazing how they keep going on and on and on with the big lie. Dennis, in Jacksonville, Florida, on WBOB, what's on your mind, Dennis? Go ahead, please.
Yes, Dr. Savage. I was going to say, for the people that are having a hard time finding your books in the bookstore, they can always buy the Kindle version off of Amazon and either read it on their HD Fire or their paper.
Well, that's a way to read it without being seen for being an American. Let's say you're afraid to carry the book to work. You can read it on a Kindle, right?
Right. You can read it on your Kindle, or you can... You know.
Right. You don't want to show anybody that you actually care about America and you know that there's a bunch of criminal gangsters running the country. You don't want anyone to know that.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, for those people that can't find the book and want to read it, that's an option that they have. But, yeah, if you have...
As I said, the publisher said we're in a fifth printing. I mean, it's not that they can't find the book. The book is selling so fast they can't keep it in stock. But thank you for that idea. What we're about to play is astounding. Here is a lunatic who was on CNN telling us that we can't control a disease. Listen carefully to what Anderson Blooper has the nerve to have on his show. Listen now. Go ahead, play it.
It's impossible to track them. It's impossible, really, to seal off those connections. I mean, isolation is very important for dealing with this disease, but that means isolation of individual cases. You can't isolate neighborhoods. You can't isolate
nations. Yes, you can, you lying rat, you.
It doesn't work.
And, it does work.
And people will talk about, well, we shouldn't allow any flights in from Liberia. I mean, we in America, how dare we turn our backs on Liberia, given the fact that this is a country that was founded in the 1820s, 1830s because of American slavery. We have a responsibility to stay connected with them.
I rest my case. Liberalism is a sick mental disorder. They all belong in a mental hospital in a straitjacket. We should get Ebola because of slavery? Is that what he just argued? And Anderson Blooper is such a putz, such an inheritance case, a little pretty boy inheritance case. No audience, no listenership. And he has this moron on telling him we can't do anything to stop Ebola? Tell that to the surrounding nations in Africa. They have more brains than Anderson Cooper and Obama put together. They know how to stop the spread. They don't let the sick into their country, you moron!
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The last point I want to make here, and this is a really important one, is that airstrikes alone are not going to do this, not going to fix this, not going to save the town of Kobani. We know that, and we've been saying that over and over again, and yet we continue to get questions of, well, why aren't you doing more, and how come they aren't more effective? But what we've been very honest about, the limits of air power here.
This is a liar from the Navy now, Rear Admiral John Kirby, another man that is an embarrassment to America. The minute I saw him, I knew there was something wrong. It doesn't look like he's ever flown a plane. Looks good in the uniform. He's been a professional mouthpiece from the day he started in the military. And all he knows how to do is lie for the military that's lying to the American people. Kirby is the Pentagon press secretary, serving as the chief spokesmouth for the Department of Ill Defense. It's unbelievable to me. They're saying, oh, we've been very honest, and they're going to lose Kobani. They may even lose Baghdad. We've been very honest about that. So wherever you turn, there's a disaster. I didn't create it. I'm just the harbinger of bad news. Don't blame me. Everywhere you turn, because of the incompetence and the criminality, the country is imploding like Chernobyl. Actually, the country looks to me right now, I hate to say it, it almost feels like the Twin Towers have been hit, and the country's sort of imploding on itself. I've never seen anything quite like this. There's nothing in the government that's working. Nothing. Tell me what's working in the government. Let me be positive. All of you who think that I'm being a doubting Thomas, tell me what is working. Let's start with the U.S. Postal Service. That used to be a laughingstock, remember? Now, under Obama, the entire country's become like the U.S. Postal Service. But there's no Federal Express to save us from this man. Where is Hillary Clinton now that we have an Ebola epidemic raging out of control? She got nothing to say. What, she's trying to figure out which way the wind blows and what to say? Yes. A real leader in the wings there, waiting in the wings. Everyone knows what common sense would dictate. Stop the flights from Western Africa, close the borders, period, end of story. Now we're hearing there may be more cases here. Now we're hearing Jesse High Jackson, the race hustler out there saying, oh, they're not being treated because they're black. You hear this one? You got to hear it if you didn't. Listen to clip 10 now. This is something to behold. Listen to this one.
He had a symptom, came to the hospital, was turned away. He came back and lay there for 3 days, really on oxygen and drip and bed, sleeping into death until we began the
shut
test.
Up. Shut up. Darn, I can't stand him. He was treated the way anybody would be treated. Yeah, he was given oxygen and a drip in bed. And what'd you give him? Nothing but the dripping greed that comes off your lips every time you speak. What a country when people of this low ilk are speaking about something for which they have no knowledge. Nothing. Zero. Nothing. And all he's trying to do is sue a hospital on behalf of Africans who didn't belong here to begin with. They were not citizens. The African who brought in Ebola, how did he get here? I asked that on Monday. Who brought him here? Which church group bought him the ticket? If he was a poor African without a job, how did he get here? Who flew him in knowing he was infected with Ebola? Which church group? They're the ones who are culpable, by the way. If anyone listening to this show can tell me which church group bought the ticket for patient zero, I'll give you not only a free copy of Stop the Coming Civil War, I will let Teddy lick your hand. I will arrange for Teddy to lick your hand virtually on Skype. You will go to a Skype studio and Teddy will lick your hand on a Skype screen. Yeah, who paid for the patient zero to come here? I'd like to know. WABC New Jersey. I love New Jersey. I don't know why I don't live in New Jersey. I've always liked New Jersey. I once had a consulting job in Englewood Cliffs, New Jersey. I used to love traveling there from California. Because in college, at Queens College, I had a class in geology. And they took us to the Palisades Cliffs, for those of you not in the East Coast. They're these stark cliffs that drop straight down into the Hudson River. And all the different strata of the times before us are there for us to study. And I learned at that time that we were not the first generation on Earth. I had no idea until I went to college. I thought that when I had been born, I was the first human. And it wasn't until I took geology that I realized that I think before my parents, there were actually several generations. And then when I took geology seriously, I realized that we're nothing. We're just walking on the face of the Earth for a very brief interval, a very, very brief interval. And then each passing generation basically is buried beneath another layer of soil. And perhaps this is the dumbest generation in American history, I said to myself. Here we have a raging, killing epidemic, and the morons who run the country either refuse to stop its entry or are letting it in on purpose, and the people do nothing. So again, look, I got to tell you, every time I say it, I feel my blood boil, I feel the veins in my neck swell, I feel my heart go up, the pulse goes up, the feet sweat. And to save myself from a stroke on the air, I pulled out a picture of my mother from many years ago. God rest her soul. She passed about 10 years ago. But here she is, younger than I am right now, smiling, looks nice, nice dress in Florida somewhere. She loved Florida. It was the promised land for her. I don't know what she loved about it, but she loved Florida. I guess she liked the heat. Who knows? You know, people in that generation liked the heat. They thought that a tropical locale was desirable. Who knows? I don't know. But here she is, smiling. God bless. I got my sense of humor from her. And she's looking at me from the picture saying, Michael, enjoy yourself. Stop. Relax. You're not going to save the world. Why are you carrying this on your shoulders? You didn't cause this. You're not going to stop it. And I say, Mom, it's my job. It's what I'm supposed to do. She says, I understand, but you've done all you can do, and you've done all you should do, and you've done more than most people. You've done more than 10,000 people already. Stop it. You've written almost 30 books. You've been on the air for 20 years. You've got a PhD. You've got 2 master's degrees. You've got a wonderful family. You have a grandchild. Relax. I said, Mom, I'm not ready to relax. I can't relax. I'm too deep into this, Mom. I just can't stop. What's waiting for me out there, Mom? What's waiting for me if I do relax, Mom? I'm going to move to Florida and get a white hat and walk around Fort Lauderdale. I'm going to go for another meal. I'm going to learn to play golf at my age. It's the most boring sport I've ever encountered. I couldn't even stand being a caddy. It moves too slowly for me, Mom. Well, why don't you take up tennis? Too slow for me, Mom. It doesn't move fast enough. And secondly, you know and I know I should have learned tennis when I was 5, but we were too poor for you to buy me a tennis racket, Mom. Okay, I'm not going to take a blame for that one, but you did have skates, didn't you? And you made a nice scooter out of it, and you went up and down Longfellow Avenue with the scooter. Yes, Mom, I know. I didn't go back to the hoop and the stick in the street. My daughter once said to me, she didn't know what generation I came from, when she was a little girl and she was like 10, she said, Dad, did you wear knickers and did you roll a hoop? I swear to God. You know, she said, did you wear knickers and did you roll a hoop in the street? She had no idea. No, it was a funny statement. Kids say the most amazing thing. She probably thought I was like born in 1880 or something, 1890, that I rolled a hoop in the street. No, I didn't roll a hoop in the street. But I have a lot of hope in the street right now. I have a lot of hope on the street. WABC New Jersey. Frank, I'm sorry I got distracted. I'm gonna stay distracted as long as I can today, because I actually feel healed when I'm distracted. Frank, what's on your mind from WABC?
I'm sitting in front of Barnes & Noble in Clifton on Route 3, and I went in to ask about your book, and they said I missed it by 2 days. They sold 50 copies the first day, and they're getting more in a couple of days. So listen to you yesterday. You're talking about the guy, you know, the guy's back there with the ear rings or whatever. And so I asked the guy, I said, so do you ever listen to Michael Savage? And he says, no, I don't really listen to the radio, but I've only heard good things about him. So even Michael, you're starting to make inroads into that community also.
But wait a minute, did the guy have earrings in his ears and nose?
No, he had the ear bar in the top of his ear.
The what in his ear?
The ear, like, is a straight ear bar.
What's that? What is that, like an earring? I don't even know what it is. What is that, Neil? An ear bar? What's an ear bar?
Yeah, it's an ear bar in the top of his ear, not necessarily earring in his ear. But anyway.
Isn't that what they put on the ear of a cow to number it and make certain that it doesn't leave the plantation?
Maybe I should have asked him if he was branded.
That's what I'm saying. A lot of these kids would like to be branded. They'd feel safer. But hey, Frank, I want to thank you for checking. But, you know, you're telling us all good news. It's confirming what my publisher said. They've had to go back to press 5 times in a week. And the bookstores are running after this book. She said, tell your listeners that there's been 5 printings in 1 week, and every bookstore chain in America is chasing the book and can't keep up with the demand. So that's good news. Look, this is a national phenomenon right now. This is one of those books that is going to change the course of human events, as I hope. And I don't think I have to talk about it much anymore. I think that the listeners have caught on, and they're going to read it, and they're going to talk about it. Frank, I wish I could help you. I don't have any way to help you. WABC Carl, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Called 5 bookstores on Long Island. They're all sold out. The bookstore in Carl Place, I just had to mention your first. I said, Michael Savage, he said, sold out.
Unbelievable. Well, is that good news or bad news?
It might be bad news for me, but it's good news for you.
Yeah, well, I don't know what to say. You can go online to BNN.com or something and order it to have it a day or two. They'll be in soon, you know. It'll be a fun. Once it hits again next week, you'll see them all over the front of the store, and then I'm going to ask people to go in once again, you know. Anyway, thanks for the call. Let's go to some of the nice callers out there. WBAP, Susan, thanks for calling from Dallas. What's on your mind?
Hey, I just wanted to tell you I know how much you miss your mother, and I know you're exhausted. But you must press on. We have got to hear the truth. I depend on this every day, and I know so many people do. And as soon as we slip into a world where the reality is gone, there's nothing left.
There are a few still voices out there, and there are a few voices out there. We can't remain still is the point.
Nope.
A few of us are left who are telling it like it is. Maybe there. Did you ever think that the liars don't even know the truth? Did you ever think of that? That Rear Admiral Kirby is such a moron, and he's been lying his whole life as a PR director. He doesn't even know what he's saying. Did you ever think that Obama doesn't actually know what he's talking about? Did you ever think John Kerry is such a committed liar, he doesn't know what he's talking about? I actually believe that they're dumber than we think. People give them scripts to read.
I'm so scared.
Well, I'm not scared. I'll tell you why you shouldn't have fear. Can I talk with you for a minute about fear? It's an interesting point that I've never, ever addressed in 20 years. I think I'm going to talk about fear and how to control it. I think it's the most important thing I've ever talked about, but I don't want to make any mistakes here. Do I have fears? Of course I do. I'm a human being. Was I a fearful child? Yes, I was a fearful child. I grew up in a pretty bad neighborhood, not like the kids today in some of the inner cities where they shoot each other, but it was bad. And I had to seek the protection of other kids in order to survive. I could never have been a kid alone in that neighborhood at that time and survived. They would have probably burnt me at the stake. And the reason I said that is they actually tried to set a kid on fire on a tree. We had to run and save him. I mean, they picked on a kid who had red hair. I swear to God, they tied him to a tree and they started to burn him. You say you're making it up. I'm not making it up. And the other kids had to run over to the tree and put the fire out. And save the kid from being set on fire by very evil people, some of whom almost killed me once by dangling me out of a window. I don't want to go into that. But the point is, of course I had fear. Of course I have fearful moments and fearful dreams. So how do I get up on the radio every day and be so fearless is what you're saying. That's what you really want to know. How do you overcome all of your doubts and all of your fears? Well, the answer is I don't have any when it comes to the show. This is a phenomenon that is something that's worth talking about. Before a show, I don't get the jitters. Before a show, I don't get the shakes. I don't get any of that. Never. It's the one area of my life where I have 1,000% of confidence in what I'm doing and what I'm saying and the purpose. And what is it? Because it's a purposeful, it's a purpose-driven life that I lead. My life has meaning. I've been a champion for America's borders, language, and culture for 20 years at least. You know that. That's the nature of my show. It's the headline of the show, Borders, Language, Culture. I know that I'm on solid ground every time I speak. Sometimes I can be stupid like anyone else. Sometimes I can make a mistake like everyone else. Sometimes I laugh when it's inappropriate. Sometimes I get angry when it may be inappropriate. But, hey, 3 hours a day, 5 days a week for 20 years, you know, give me a break. You try it for 3 minutes a day and see what happens. So what I'm saying is I actually believe, looking back on my life, that God gave me this radio career for a reason. I've told you the story before. I don't have the time to tell it to you again. I'll just say it to you this way. When you're in the shoes that you belong in or in the moccasins that you're supposed to be walking in, you'll know it. And when you're walking in those moccasins, you'll be fearless. And I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
Now back to the Savage Nation on Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
Some cultural music. We have African drums to be played right now. Neil, my producer just sent me a picture of an ear bar. I have no idea what an ear bar is. In my generation, we would have thought the person belonged in a mental hospital who had an ear bar. They puncture two parts of the cartilage on the outside of the ear with a stainless steel ear thing. They use it in a sex thing? I don't know. What's that for? You, like, pull it during sex? What is the ear bar for? You attach it to electrical cords to give yourself a thrill? I don't know. You know, I would be very careful with sharing ear bars if I were young because you could get ear bola. You don't want to get ear bola. You got to be very careful. Hey, that savage is making fun of Ebola. He's a diseasist. Yeah, I laugh. You know, I want to play some music now. I have only a minute and 46, 45. I live by the second. I love it. My heart's pounding. As I finish a sentence, 41 seconds. It's like life itself radio. A minute 38. Could you play under Latin La Sonora? No, Orquesta Aragon, Pare Cochero. Orquesta Aragon, Pare Cochero. Cochero, pare Cochero. That's how it goes. Cochero, pare Cochero. Cochero, pare Cochero. You could see me dancing in my slick shoes a number of years ago. Orquestao, Orquesta con mi combo. I'm looking for some Cuban music here. I start speaking with Atilde, and you want to be able to stop me. Picture me in slick shoes sliding around a dance floor in Manhattan. Now, that was fearful. That's when I had fear. You want to know when I had fear? When I was young. Fear. I love the flute. Play the flute louder. I can't hear it. Maybe I'm getting some illness here. Maybe I should get an ear bar with a receiver.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
For all of you who like to lecture everyone on multiculturalism, I guarantee you I was more multicultural before you were even born and went to Harvard. But I don't wear it like a badge on my head, multicultural. What does that mean? Let's hear Benny Moray better. Try dancing to this. I'll give you the multicultural test. See if you can dance on two to Benny Moray. Now, that was fear. We're talking in the last hour. Thanks, Benny. Give him a sugar cane. We'll see him after the show. We're talking in the last hour about fear and being fearful. I'm saying when I'm on the air, I'm fearless. But like everyone else, I have my fears. And I had fears as a child. And, you know, I'm thinking about the word fear. Fear. Many of you are so afraid that you won't even go and buy a book and carry it around. You're afraid someone will say something to you. That's how they've beaten you in the culture wars. You're afraid of people who have no business frightening you. Who are they? Well, they're going to look at you the wrong way. They're going to look at you because you're carrying a book by Michael Savage. And what if they look at you? Who are they? What, they're exemplars of the human race? Who's going to look at you the wrong way if you take it to work or you take it to school? What do you mean they look at you the wrong way? What are they, the harbingers of everything great in America? You got a raging epidemic out of control now, and their leader doesn't know how to stop it. You got a war that he's conducting that's a sham. You got kids coming across the border infected, infecting other children in schools in America. So you're going to let someone look at you like you're the wrong one? I say to myself, I'm trying to tell the audience how to not be fearful. They've beaten you through social control. When I was a young anthropologist, I remember reading a paper on, I try to get the exact title. It was so long ago, 30 years ago, I can almost recall the title. It was called Illness and Social Control in a Philippine Village. That's almost the exact title. When it comes to scholarly work, I have an almost photographic memory. I can almost remember the exact title. I think it was called Illness and Social Control in a Philippine Village. And it was about how illness was used as a form of social control in a Philippine village and what that entailed. Right now, Ebola is being used as a form of social control. So one of the worst people in American history pops up, Jesse Jackson, and starts saying that the man who brought in Ebola was not treated right by the hospital because he was poor and he was black. I cannot believe what I'm listening to. I can't believe the man gets away with this with a straight face. But he's been doing it for 30 years. He's profited by it. He's lived very nicely as a result of it. So why should he stop now? The man sees an opportunity. He seizes it. It's called an opportunist. He sees Ebola as a cash cow. So he's trying to jump in on it. The same way Al Sharpton's lawyer, caught in the rape scandal, has used race as a weapon against the New York Police Department for 30 years to profit from. You get it? So now it's coming full circle. The race haters, the race mongers are actually going to use the disease of Ebola to push their agenda. Can you believe this? Yeah, well, you better believe it because that's what's coming. So if you want to talk about any of these topics I've been touching on or such nature as the, you know, fear or fearfulness and how you overcome fear, we can do so at 855-400-7282. Let's go to the first caller in San Francisco. Ty, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Thanks, Mike, for taking my call. I haven't read your book yet because I can't find it. But I don't know if your book addresses this. The United States Code, Chapter 42, Section 264, Subparagraph D. The government can apprehend and examine any individual reasonably believed to be infected with a communicable disease.
Let me answer that for you right now, Ty. Here's the bad news. I had this on the show Monday. I'm going to read you a paragraph that's going to get you very nervous. 4 years ago, without public notice, Obama scrapped quarantine plans from the CDC, which could have blocked travelers with the daily Ebola virus from entering the United States. He overrode it. And had he not overridden it, the African Duncan, who came from Liberia, would not have been permitted to ever set foot in the country and brought Ebola with him. Obama got rid of the quarantine rule in the middle of the night 4 years ago. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, but Mike, they can go overnight and reinstate that law. It doesn't.
Well, who can do it? Who? John Boehner? John Boehner is going to do that. The Republicans are going to do it. Where are the Republicans on the Ebola epidemic? I haven't heard from them. Have you?
No.
There's no Congress. There's no Congress anymore, my friend. That's all. It's that simple. Let's have a little more music. Teddy, stop it. You're interrupting a very important national broadcast. Don't bark in my house during a show. I want to play a little more ethnic music. We could play the Jewish death chant. That's a little too heavy right now. We could play Pagliacci by Pavarotti. No, that's a little too high class. We could play Israeli rap, Irish music. I'm not in the mood for Irish music. I have a whole thing, cultural music, Chinese, Gongzi, I know. Hawaiian, are you lonesome tonight? I don't know what music would work tonight. Does anyone have any idea what music, what cultural music would fit the show? Maybe Balinese gamelan. I was once into that for a couple of years till I almost had a nervous breakdown. There was a movie in 92 called The Devil's Own with Brad Pitt. It was a great movie. And it was about an IRA guy who saw his father shot in front of his eyes when he was a little kid, becomes a member of the IRA, and he's smuggled into America, and he lives with a cop on Long Island. It was fantastic. I love that movie. I watched it again last night. And I thought about the troubles in Ireland at the time and how they affected so many people in America and how those troubles have kind of gone away, really. In some way, they're no longer around. They're not relevant. And I thought of the other civil wars that have occurred. But as I was watching The Devil's Own, I think that was the name of it, I couldn't believe what I was actually watching, where young men had machine guns hidden in their houses to fight the oppressive government of England that was basically treating them like third-class garbage, like Irish trash, and they had had enough of it. They didn't want it anymore. I was saying, you know, my God, things could evolve very rapidly in the country. They really could fall apart. And I don't want to take it to its logical, you know, conclusion of what I'm saying to you. That's the last thing we want in this country. We don't want to see an oppressive Obama administration moving armored personnel carriers and tanks into the streets. And nor do we want to see an armed citizenry, a shooting, et cetera. That's not what we want. We don't want it. But, you know, I am a bit concerned about a government that is showing itself to be not flat-footed, but so evil and so incompetent when it comes to a disease like Ebola, that I'm wondering what the spark might be to set off the next American Revolution, because it could be that close. That's what's freaking me out. Yes, I wrote the book, and yes, the book's intent is to stop such an event. But I think sometimes things are set in motion that can't be stopped by anything. And I believe that the evil and the incompetence and the arrogance that is coming out of this government is so overwhelming that somebody could set that could drop a match on this gasoline, and it's not going to be me. Remember that. It's not going to be me. I'm the man with the fire extinguisher. Now, maybe many of you want to see that match dropped. I don't. Because if anyone studied civil wars, as I have, nobody wins. Everybody loses in a civil war. Don't look any farther than Syria right now. Hundreds of thousands dead. And what is the result of it? Who's gained by this? And the worst part of this discussion is that Lincoln, Abraham Lincoln, who is a great man for having emancipated the slaves, was also a terrible man. And as I point out in Stop the Coming Civil War, here's the dangerous part of this story. Abraham Lincoln was a mentor, or is a mentor, of Barack Hussein Obama. But if you understand that Lincoln was a monster, and you realize that Obama may be copying some of his techniques to gain total power, anything is possible. We have entered a time that is as dangerous as that during the Lincoln years. And I write, as happened in Lincoln's time, we're moving not toward expanded freedom, but toward civil war. Why do I say that? Like Abraham Lincoln during the Civil War, Obama sees the military as his palace guard. We might see them policing our towns and neighborhoods for any sign of insurrection against this president's assault on our freedoms. During the Civil War, Lincoln ordered the censoring of news stories. Like Lincoln, Barack Obama has not only turned a deaf ear on criticism of his administration, he has effectively censored the media through political pressure. And that's why I say we're under assault from both inside and outside of our government. And like Abraham Lincoln did during the Civil War, we're seeing this country moving to consolidate its domestic power. I didn't know when I wrote the book that we'd have an Ebola epidemic that's starting to spread and that this country would do nothing, that this administration would do nothing to stop it. I did write that, led by Barack Obama, the new ruling junta has divided our nation by class, gender, race, age, and income, and this division is heading us towards, I hope not, civil war. And while the government consolidates its personal power and weakens our military, the liberal media watches the storm clouds of civil war gather with little reportage, little outrage, or little resistance. Why do I say that? The Obama administration has given illegal aliens and drug lords the right to cross our borders freely, while law enforcement officers are prohibited from preventing this invasion. The political left looks the other way, while English becomes our second language, and weak-kneed Republicans refuse to stand up and declare English the official language of the United States. I write this: everything that makes us Americans, the preservation of our borders, language, and culture, is being taken from us, threatening our very survival as a nation. Obama has eviscerated our military, removing hundreds of our best commanding officers as he reduces our ability to defend America and the free world. Let me pause right there. Remember we used to say that our military should be able to conduct two wars at any time, anywhere in the world? Remember that was the plan under every other president since World War II? Since World War II, we realized America, to survive, needed a military strong enough to operate on two fronts somewhere in the world with full strength. Remember that? That's because during World War II, we were at war with Germany on one front and war with Japan on another front. We needed to fight a war on two fronts. So the military has always been able to fight, at least since World War II, two major wars around the world. Right now, this crippled military can't even defeat a ragtag bunch of ISIS fighters in the desert. Why? Is it that they lack the will? No, they have the skills and the will, but they have a deceitful commander-in-chief who is not operating at full capacity with regard to defeating the enemy. In fact, he's operating at full capacity to defeat America. Those are my words. That's why I wrote Stop the Coming Civil War. If you don't like what I'm saying, you do have the right to say something by calling 855-407-282, but you can't get through. We're sold out. Sorry, I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CO-I-N. Savage Nation. So Obama scrapped the CDC rule, giving the feds the power to block ill travelers. He did that 4 years ago in the middle of the night without public notice. Now, why would he have done that? The same reason he hired Tom Friedman, to be the head of the CDC. In other words, listen, let me explain how this works. And it's very hard for me to do this without being attacked wrongly, but I'll do it anyway. After the AIDS epidemic, the decision was made to never permit any quarantine for any reason. And right now, as a result of that, and I said it yesterday, those with compromised immune systems, people with HIV, of all people in America, should be the most freaked out by the government's incompetence and their refusal to prohibit travelers from West Africa where this disease is prevalent. I'm their best friend, not their worst enemy. And yet, because of lies and biases against me, they don't even know what I'm saying. Everything I say is misinterpreted by the radicals, and I can only say it like it is. Yes, we need quarantine of Ebola patients, but more importantly, we need to quarantine Western African nations that have the Ebola virus. That's the first rule of sanity, the first rule of epidemics. Going back to the Bible, it doesn't take a genius, it doesn't take a PhD to understand that this government is doing everything backwards, and we're all at risk. The disease is spreading after they told us it wouldn't spread. After Obama said it's not spread casually, we're starting to see cases where it may have been spread through an airborne manner. Everything that Friedman says is a lie. Everything he has said is a lie. While he was talking about how, don't worry, yesterday, we read that a first responder may have contracted Ebola by entering an apartment complex in Dallas where the visitor from Africa had been carted out. And yet not one word from the leaders, quote-unquote, of this country, which have a 7% approval rating. Breaking news right now, Dow Jones average has the biggest drop of the year, 334-point drop. Energy stocks leading to decline, biggest Dow drop of the year. Aren't you glad you didn't invest? I'm sorry. I mean, that's what you're thinking. Those of you who don't have money in the market are saying, wow, I'm smart. I didn't make any money in the stock market. That's after seeing years of it going up 25% a year. But those of you who didn't invest are saying, wow, I'm glad I didn't invest. Energy stocks leading to decline. I wonder why the energy stocks are leading to decline. I have no idea. All I can say to you is I'm doing my best. I have no idea whether you hear me or don't hear me. I don't know what you're hearing or don't hear me. But I will tell you this. Yes, I'm pushing my book very hard because I believe in it, and I believe you need it, and I believe America needs it. And you should understand that although you can't find it, it's not because it's being buried. My publisher has reported they're in a fifth printing in 1 week. That's a national phenomenon. And the book's going to be on the New York Times list next week. And once that happens, Stop the Coming Civil War will be at the front of every bookstore and on every bestseller table and walls everywhere, and that's where you're going to help me. You're going to go in and make sure it is. It's the second week where you have to put your foot on the gas. It's the second week where you're going to have to tell your friends and neighbors that that we have 30 days left to save the country. When I come back, we'll talk about all the news of the day, play some music. I'll talk about some 25-year-old scotch I just bought and haven't opened yet, and how I decelerate at night. Teddy and I, a nice scotch over the fire. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
See the girls with their legs lift high and the a happy time in the world. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. See you in the bar, and I'll buy you an absinthe. Now, it's very hard for me to jump from that to what's going on with the radical running the White House right now, but I'm going to do so because that's what I have to do. It's my job. It's what I'm paid for. It's why you listen. And yesterday I was on Alex Jones' show, and many of you listen to Alex and go to his website, Prison Planet. And parts of the interview are astonishing because I didn't know what I was saying. I mean, I knew what I was saying, but I don't remember it as what I was saying. So they quote as a Savage says Obama's radical open borders agenda is going to kill all of us. Radio host exposes how government policies are putting public health in danger. Now, I want to go to the bottom of the article and read something that someone posted. And it says this. A woman writes, she says, I love it when a man has the sense to see the truth, face it, and the courage to tell it like it is. It is such a rare thing to see these days. This is a most important trait for a man to have, ladies. Without it, I wouldn't even bother, if you know what I mean. I don't know where that came. Thanks, young lady. I appreciate it. But here's the best part of the quotes. Someone posted this. They say, here are some quotes that show how the world leaders think. Club of Rome, Goals for Mankind, quote, the resultant ideal sustainable population is hence more than 500 million but less than 1 billion, close quote. Jacques Cousteau is quoted. In order to stabilize world population, we must eliminate 350,000 people per day. It is a horrible thing to say, but it is just as bad not to say it. Dave Foreman of the Sierra Club is quoted. I believe that human overpopulation is the fundamental problem on Earth today, and we humans have become a disease, the human pox, end quote. Prince Philip, Duke of Edinburgh, leader of the World Wildlife Fund, wrote, is quoted as follows. If I were reincarnated, I would wish to be returned to Earth as a killer virus to lower human population levels, close quote. Finally, he quotes Ted Turner, founder of Jane Fonda, and the quote is as follows. Quote, a total population of 250 to 300 million people, a 95% decline from present levels would be ideal, close quote. If you think that there aren't any ZPGers talking into Obama's big ears, you're mistaken. I just wonder if it's gotten that far, if the psychotics are actually intending to do this. I don't know. But I'll quote you some of the articles. No one to mince words, radio host Michael Savage described yesterday how several of the Obama administration's disgraceful policies, including the de facto open southern border, amount to a veritable declaration of war against the American people. The radio talk show host and epidemiologist stated on the Wednesday edition of the Alex Jones Show, President Obama declared a civil war the day he took office, pointing to the president's pronouncement that he would embody a more transformational role as proof of Obama's real agenda. He has declared a civil war on us, Alex. It's not like, oh, there's going to be a civil war. There is a civil war. But it's a type you've been talking about for years. Touching on Obama's embrace of the Cloward and Piven strategy devised in 1966, which is designed to implode the nation's economy by overloading the welfare system, thereby allowing the government to play the role of savior. Breaking down key thoughts from his latest book, Stop the Coming Civil War, Savage described how everything from the IRS persecution of conservative groups to the NSA spying on journalists and America's de facto open border policy all demonstrate a complete and utter failure on the part of the sitting president. If you like your Ebola, you can keep your Ebola. If you like your ED68 virus in your child's school, you can keep your ED68. It was brought in by the trainload from Central America this summer, Savage told Jones yesterday. And then I go on in talking about how the failure of the lapdog establishment media to challenge the administration in any adversarial capacity plays a large role in acclimating Americans to socialist notions, highlighting the corporate media's complicity in America's downfall. You don't have to start a civil war with a gun, explained Savage. It's far more effective if you do it through brainwashing and you own the press and you own the media. Dr. Savage also took an untraditional approach to the current Ebola fiasco, saying the fast-killing disease's foray into the U.S. could possibly serve as a catalyst to awaken the sleeping giant that is the American people to the administration's blunders. Quote, all along, Alex, I prayed that there would be some godsend that would save us from this psychotic in the White House and his band of very, very dangerous people. You're going to think I'm a little weird here when I say that Ebola may be the silver lining. Maybe that's going to awaken people to the fact that this man is not only incompetent, but that his radical open borders agenda is going to kill all of us, close quote. That was an interview that I think it's worth talking about. Many people listen to him and like him. And many people agree with what I say, and many people understand that what I'm saying is correct. And the fact of the matter is, the phone number here is 855-400-7282. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. ISIS is taking over the Middle East, and Obama says his airplanes can't stop them. That's nonsense. It's pure rubbish. Do you know that ISIS could be wiped out in 24 hours if we had a commander-in-chief who really wanted to wipe them out? Do you have any idea what a lie you're being told about Ebola? It's the same thing. This didn't have to happen to us. It's happening because of Thomas Friedman and the other liars, the paid stooges of Obama, in my opinion. I'm sorry to be abrupt. I'm sorry to be rude. I'm sorry to be bold. I'm sorry to be brash. I'm sorry to talk in a plain manner. I'm sorry to give it to you like it is. I'm sorry to talk to you like I know you. I apologize for not sounding like a broadcaster who trained with Tom Brokaw or Dan Rather. I'm speaking to you from the heart. It's called One from the Heart. If you care to comment on any of this, you can't get into the show because just as my book is sold out and in the fifth printing, the show is now sold out and in the second hour. Dr. Rebecca, KKOH, Reno. Let's never forget Reno, the little city that could. KKOH, one of my favorite signals when I'm driving up to Tahoe. Rebecca, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Ever since the first report of Ebola outbreak hit the news, yours has been the only voice of reason that I have heard. A little-known fact that has not yet been reported is that infected men continue to shed active Ebola virus in their semen long after their symptoms resolve. So if they're lucky,
I did actually cover that a while ago, but you're a doctor of what specialty, Dr. Rebecca?
I'm in natural health care. I'm a chiropractor.
That's fine by me. It's fine by me. I know how good chiropractic can be in healing. Yes, the semen. Something we're not allowed to talk about.
Here, right on the CDC website, if you go, cdc.gov/Ebola/transmission, in classic oxymoronic governmental form, they say once someone recovers from Ebola, they can no longer spread the virus. Why then do they continue to state, however, Ebola virus has been found in semen for up to 3 months?
Which means we should slam the border shut, which means we should isolate and quarantine Liberia and all the other nations that are the loci of infection. That's the commonsensical thing to do. You know that, Dr. Rebecca.
How well do you...
Why am I the only one in the media who understands what's going on and how dangerous this is for the rest of the nation? Why am I the only one who's doing this? I don't get it. Well, I think that it's a lack of education, and they seem to think that Dr. Friedman, because he ties a knot well, knows what he's talking about. I mean, I know you don't have any confidence in him. I know anyone with a brain wouldn't. On the Internet, in Southern California, Lee, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Dr. Savage did a quick check at Barnes & Noble in Lancaster, California. Again, the book was hidden, had to ask for it. It was back by the customer service desk on the very, very, very bottom. One thing I'd like you to consider, when this is all done and said, maybe you could write a book on parenting. You're the guy that I would love to have more wisdom from. And
Hold it. Do you have any children?
Yeah, I think you ought to write a book on parenting, or at least consider writing a book on parenting. The last thing I'll say is this.
Wait, hold on. You said I should write a book on parenting, but I'm saying, do you have any children?
Yes, I do, Dr. Savage. I'm going to give
you one rule that was told to me by an uncle who had no children of his own. And it turned out to be the best thing I ever heard. You know, just as all religions can be reduced to one phrase, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, all religions teach that except for one religion. One religion teaches do others before they catch on that you're going to do them. But nevertheless, most religions teach do unto others as you would have them do unto you. All religions teach that basic message of peace, except for one. That's the religion of peace. But in terms of child rearing, my uncle, who had no children of his own, because as I, God bless her, they're both gone now, she couldn't bear children. He said to me, I remember we had our first child, and I didn't know how to raise a child. I didn't know what to do. You know, I really didn't. I didn't know what the rules were. I had no book. I said, I don't really know how to raise a child. You know what he said to me? Just give him love. Just love the child from your heart, and everything will work. That's the one rule you have to remember. When I see housekeepers, or nannies rather, walking around my neighborhood with little babies, the white women are working or at the gym or drinking a latte with their girlfriend, and I see these poor women from Guatemala pushing a baby carriage, talking on a cell phone a mile a minute, yakking away. The baby is staring straight ahead, doesn't even know who's pushing it. There's no conversation going on between the nanny and the baby. You think that baby's going to wind up a socially cohesive individual? No. No. No, not. Same thing as putting a baby into daycare for, run by the government. Yeah, give your baby to government daycare and see what happens with the baby. Baby winds up with very poor social skills as a result. So the main rule of bringing a child up is, A, you really better want it. And number two, talk to the child and treat the child as though you really love it. Not as though, you know, because if you do, you do. And if you don't, you don't. The child will know it. You can't fake it with children. If you don't like your child, then believe me, there's nothing that you're going to do is going to make the child think that you love them. Look what happened to Anderson Cooper, for example. But that's just it's a Henny Youngman joke. I throw it in for my own entertainment. I feel bad for him, actually. He looks like a very nice guy who was neglected and then given to a nanny, which explains why he's such a ninny. We're moving to the point in the show where I don't want to get too silly, but I think we have to go back to something that is beyond comprehension, which is Jesse Jackson, who's the biggest ass in the whole Ebola story. There's no bigger ass than Jesse Jackson. For having to have the nerve to come out and try to turn it into a racial issue, listen to clip number 9. Listen, you got to hear this.
As a fact of anti-immigrant, anti-refugee, anti-black, is very real in our country. All we really know is that one treatment for the Americans at Emory, one treatment for the American in Nebraska, one treatment for Eric in Dallas. We know that in those cases, when that was symptom.
Take it. I wish there was a pill for Jesse Jackson, something he could take to turn him into a human being that doesn't lie. Wouldn't it be nice if someone could develop an anti-racist pill and make Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson take it? Wouldn't it be nice if someone could invent a pill that screened out this kind of screed, this hatred that comes out of this man's mouth? It's second nature to him. Listen to the next one. This is Jesse Jackson spewing hatred in clip 10. You got to hear this.
He had the symptom, came to a hospital, was turned away. He came back and lay there for 3 days, really on oxygen and drip.
Really on oxygen? Who gave him the oxygen? You? You put out hot air and carbon dioxide, not oxygen. You just admitted the hospital put him on oxygen. What did you want them to do? Make him the president of the hospital? It's unbelievable to me. It's incomprehensible. But now it even gets better. Here is a relative of the African who brought the disease to America, who was trained to put out a speech in clip 7. Wait till you hear this one. This you love. Listen.
Well,
to
yeah, we're being mistreated. We're being, again, stigmatized. We go in there, we're being, like, you know, ostracized. Like, you don't, you know, like we didn't belong there. The hospital staff initially, we call and, you know, get the phone hang up on. We stay on hold for 30
baby.
Minutes.
Sometimes
really?
We call,
we get bounced around the hospital
really?
About 15 minutes. And get told
send
we can't speak
a limo
her.
For you.
But after Reverend Jackson stepped in, and he called, you know, he put out
a you heard it already. See, he wanted a limo sent for his uncle, the African who brought Ebola to America. Hey, when I call a hospital, I'm made to wait on hold. They make me wait for more than 30 minutes. But this African man says it's because of race. I guess he's never tried it not being a black man. Try it when you're a white man and see what happens. You might get the same treatment. But don't tell that to someone who's been schooled in how to put out hatred by Jesse Jackson, in my estimation. We get bounced around the hospital for 15 minutes until you get to reach someone. I can guarantee you that my listeners who are listening to this show, if they called a hospital with a problem, would take longer than 15 minutes. And no one knows what your race is. But this is what happens when you have a race-driven nation. This is what happens when you have people trained to use race as a weapon against the most civilized, decent nation the world has ever seen. And if this country is so evil, what I say is, why didn't he seek treatment in another country like Liberia itself? He wouldn't have gotten such treatment there, I'm sure. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-CO-IN. Maybe we should get some Blackfoot Indians to chant around the White House. Maybe that'll save us. Maybe the Native Americans can put out a chant around the White House to clear the air from the lies and the deception, huh? Look what they've lived through from previous administrations. We're like the Cherokees sitting here waiting to be sent to Oklahoma with blankets full of smallpox and being told that the blankets are good for us by Thomas Friedkin. Luba in Scottsdale on KFNX. Welcome from Arizona. What's on your mind?
Michael, I bought your book this morning at Target. And this is something I think that all your listeners should be aware of, because the last few days you've been talking primarily about Barnes & Noble, but there are a lot more Target stores than there are Barnes & Noble.
And they're fully stocked. I learned today that they're in the fifth printing in 1 week. It's a national phenomenon, Luba. Thank you very much. By the way, be careful of getting Ebola. And you know what Ebola is, don't you? Ebola is when you had an earful of Obama spewing his deceit. That's what Ebola is. It's actually more dangerous than something that sounds like it. Ebola is the rubbish coming out of the White House about the fake war in the Middle East, about the economy stupid, about illegals coming here to work. You know, you fill in the blank. You get the picture. None of us want to get Ebola. So let's have another Blackfoot chant. Maybe that'll save us. Another big hour across America. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
So as I write in my important tome, I'm not even going to call it a book anymore, I'm going to call it my tome, my manifesto, my magnus opus. As I write in my magnus opus, the sine qua non of all of my 29 writings, book published writings, there's about 20 books yet to be published in manuscript form in my archives. By the way, a major university in Texas is clamoring for my papers and my radio shows on tape and my memorabilia, which we'll talk about at another time. As I look at all of this and I think about what's in my book, what worries me the most is that this very intelligent president of ours, never to be underestimated, never to be said to be a lame duck president, never to be believed that he's given up. That's the foolish thing you could ever believe. It's all part of the gigantic scam that's being run by you. He has several mentors, and one of Abraham Lincoln, as I mentioned to you before, and I make a little issue in Stop the Coming Civil War for obvious reasons. That in the freeing of the slaves, which was a great thing, because as you well know, slavery is perhaps the worst crime that can be committed against a human being, as we know by what ISIS is doing to Christians and Azidis and other minorities in the Middle East and the guys under the guise of Islam, imprisoning them and enslaving them. But we won't talk about slavery in the Middle East. We'll say that thank God Lincoln freed the slaves. But what you may not know is that Abraham Lincoln, being one of Barack Hussein Obama's mentors, did some horrendous things as well, which have been forgotten to history, but not to me and my readers and my listeners. Under the rights that Lincoln granted himself in the 1862 proclamation, Abraham Lincoln violated American civil rights with impunity. He is estimated to have arrested and imprisoned some 20,000 civilians and detained them without trials. Now, 20,000 civilians in 1862, 1863, would be what, 2 million civilians today? And you're telling me all your fears about FEMA camps and the militarization of police and Obama's desire for a national security force that reports just to him are not real? I hope you're right. And I hope he doesn't do what Lincoln did and arrest civilians that he doesn't like because their politics don't match his. I hope so. In an 1862 proclamation, Abraham Lincoln declared that rebels and insurgents in the southern states had created an insurrection and that they were, quote, subject to martial law, unquote, and their right to a writ of habeas corpus was suspended. What if Obama did that? What if he used executive powers to state that rebels or, let's say, American terrorists had created an insurrection and they were subject now to martial law and they have no right to habeas corpus, is being suspended? Who would oppose him? John Boehner? When a Kentucky citizen, Hannibal Hamlin Breckinridge, criticized Lincoln for his division of the nation and for driving the country toward civil war, his criticism was censored by the president, and the Associated Press was banned from printing his remarks. Did you hear what I just said? The AP was banned from printing his remarks. Right now, Michael Savage is banned on every network in the country. He's banned in Britain. He's banned on Fox News. Are we living in a free country? We are. You're free to listen to this radio show, and you're free to read my books right now. Did you know that during the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln kept Southern prisoners of war in internment camps under deplorable conditions? For example, at Fort Delaware, more than 2,000 Confederate soldiers died of scurvy and dysentery in a camp plagued by filth and vermin. Would you like to hear some more about what Obama's mentor Abe Lincoln did and why I'm worried? Sherman's March. In early September 1864, the city of Atlanta surrendered to the Union's Major General William Sherman. Some 14,000 residents, mostly older men, women, and children, watched helplessly as Sherman's troops from the north burned the great southern city to the ground. Only 10% of Atlanta's buildings escaped the inferno. Did you know that? I bet you don't even know that. You don't know about Sherman's March. It may have been the most unholy act perpetrated on the American people by one of its own. But when voices rose in outrage about Sherman burning Atlanta to the ground, Lincoln not only turned a deaf ear, he ordered the censoring of news stories to which a compliant Associated Press acquiesced. Did you know that Lincoln suppressed the news? Did you know that Lincoln had the editors of the big papers of New York in his watch pocket? I'm not going to read this to you. You can read it for yourself. In Stop the Coming Civil War. They're very important points so that you realize what can happen here because it already has happened here. And if you think it can't happen again, I would disagree with you. I disagree with you for many reasons. And the most poignant reason is that here we have a killer epidemic breaking out in America that didn't have to happen. But because of the liberal insanity of Barack Obama and his minions, not only did we not prohibit those with Ebola from entering America, we invited them in. We're still inviting them in. They're still arriving. They still won't close the borders. They still won't stop the flights. If this president will not stop the Ebola epidemic from spreading, what might he do tomorrow? He might do anything tomorrow. I'm asking you if you are as concerned as I am. I'm asking you what you would do to stop the epidemic. Would you agree that it made sense to send 3,000 to 5,000 young men and women into the Ebola countries? What sense did that make? It's insanity. And yet this fool running the Defense Department, who should be impeached for what he's doing, let Obama send the troops to Africa under the guise that we're going to help the people of the nations there. Is that our job? Is to put our people at risk and have some of them come back asymptomatic with this disease and spread it to their family?
My question.
No, I understand that. That's how most people are at that age. So what are you asking?
For you, how do you open people's eyes?
You mean for a young guy in a college, in a community college? It's very difficult. They're not going to listen to you. They're basically into drugs, sex, and rock and roll. Right? I mean, isn't that what most of them are in college for?
No. Yeah.
Drugs, sex, and rock and roll. Isn't that what society encourages them to do?
Yeah.
Have fun, have sex, have fun, go to parties, get drunk, get stoned, and then get a bachelor's degree, and then get a job in the government. Isn't that the goal?
Yeah, but they don't even know what...
I can't tell you how to change the minds of young people because that's almost impossible. They have to come to it on their own. I mean, you're awakened. What awakened you is the question to you. What made you aware in the midst of all of that sea of ignorance?
Well, my brother was into politics, and he's like, John, you need to start listening. So I started listening. I had an English class, and a lot of people were telling me, like, you must listen to mockery and foolishness because all they're doing are bashing conservative Republicans. And I'm like...
Well, here's how you... What you're saying to me is how do you turn around those who are interested in politics but are brainwashed liberals, I think is what you're saying. It's a very difficult job. So ask them about Ebola, what they know about Ebola. Engage in a conversation. Ask them to discuss Ebola. Ask them if they know how Ebola arrived on our shores. Ask them if they know that their president eliminated a law 4 years ago in the middle of the night with executive order that would have prohibited anyone with an infectious disease from entering America. Ask them if they know that and say, does that make sense to you? And then say to them, aren't you worried about getting this disease? It is a devastating disease. It kills 50% of patients. Doesn't that bother you? Maybe you could reach them on the level of a disease.
I've had a teenage girl tell me that.
Thank you. I don't want to go on and on about it because, that's my answer. I have so many good callers here. I don't mean to be abrupt. Virginia Beach, Temple is a lady. Temple is on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I went into a Barnes & Noble in Virginia Beach, couldn't find your book. It was, as many listeners have called you, said, it's in the middle of the store, toward the back, towards the kiosk. And I asked the store manager, I said, you know, why isn't this book in the front of the store? It's supposed to be prominently displayed. And she said, well, corporate sends us a diagram of where they want our books to be, and that's what we have to follow. So
what did they put it under? Jenny has two mommies?
No, it was in the middle row, and I hate to tell you what was next. It was nonfiction, but on that little aisle was a cookbook, and in front of you, I hate to say, God help me, Billy Idol.
Well, I can't control what bookstores do, but I'm giving you some good news now, Temple. I just got this an hour before the show from my publisher. She said, please tell your listeners who are reporting such things that we're on our way to a fifth printing today. That's unbelievable. Temple, the book is selling out. It's in a fifth printing in 1 week, Temple. And she said that tell your listeners when the book hits the New York Times list next week, which it will because it's sold out, she said it has to be placed in front of the store and on the bestseller tables and walls everywhere. She said it's going to happen next week. And she suggests that listeners be patient until next week, okay? So hang in there. Thanks for being a loyal bookstore, a book reporter out there. It's very important you understand what's going on. Although Michael Savage is banned from every media outlet in America, that is on the television air, on television shows, and most conservatives won't touch it because they don't like me or whatever. They're threatened by me. Whatever the answer is, it doesn't matter. The book is in a fifth printing in 1 week. That tells you something, doesn't it? And so I'd like to remind you that you are making a difference. The book is very timely and relevant. You can save America before the election. I suggest that you go in and grab a copy next week for a family or a friend to read the important message from me to them. And congratulations to all the listeners. And I want to thank all of them for listening to the show and realizing how important this is. And that's why I'm talking about the fatal illness of Ebola. Because I think that this is with Ebola, we finally have a chance, if we've never had one before, to waken the average person up to the danger they're in as a result of the policies of the radical left that is running this country. They've mishandled everything that they have touched. And the moment I return, I will go through them, and I'll take your calls. I invite you to call right now at 855-400-7282. It's the Savage Nation. Be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. We have some breaking news for you. That is good news. Remember the deputy sheriff who was carted out yesterday with, some alarming symptoms? They were afraid it could be Ebola. Well, it turns out it was not Ebola, so that's very good news, because he said he did not contact any bodily fluids, and we were all afraid that, uh-oh, you know. Well, the fear is growing. Airplane cleaners are on strike at LaGuardia. They're afraid that, you know, clean planes that come in from Africa. Well, they're ignorant, you know. Jesse Jackson ought to go consider it, because he knows more about the Ebola epidemic than the airplane cleaners do. Nurse showing symptoms isolated in Australia. Building in Paris locked down, 60 quarantine. Brit dies from suspected Ebola in Macedonia. Anyway, and on, you know how it goes. Because the world's leaders are just so competent that we have nothing to fear. Do we still have that soundbite you guys created 2 weeks ago, Neil? Move on, there's nothing. That was a great opening that we did. Oversized body causes fire at crematory. Oh, great, that's nice. All right, WABC in New York. Sandy, you've been holding a long time. Fire away. You're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Michael. Thank God for you, Michael. You're the only one that we can hear all the right things from. And the two things that I'm yelling at the radio and I can't deal with for too much longer is that they're telling us they can't stop the flights. It's not going to help. That's a lie.
A total lie. It's the first rule of sanity. In fact, the flights have been stopped into several nations in Europe. What, are they insane in Europe?
Of course. Now, listen, the second thing that I can't deal with is they're telling me that the kids from the diseased countries, those thousands of kids that were thrown all over the country, they're telling me that's not why our kids are getting sick. Of course it is.
Of course it is. It's been tracked. And Cheryl Atkinson put the two and two together. She said the outbreak of the virus first identified in the cities are with significant number of relocated immigrants. And if you look at that article in detail, there's a link to an article in a science journal called Virology. And you will see that the virus that is called the mystery virus here in America, in fact, is endemic in the nations where Obama brought those children from. It's a scientific fact. It's not invention. It's not hype. It's not anti-immigrant. I don't want to listen to these liars. They're all liars.
Upsetting me. Then they get these experts on who won't tell you anything. Don't believe anything they say. Forget it.
What can I say to you? I do the best I can. If you go to michaelsavage.com, there's an article that I linked in Virology. On the right side of my website, it says Savage shows direct link of mystery virus to Obama's kids. And it's a link to Virology, which is a scientific journal. And it's entitled Human Rhinovirus and Enterovirus as an Influenza-like Illness in Latin America. It's a scientific article, but it's worth reading. And you will see that the rhinoviruses that we're seeing in our children today have a high degree of similarity to the viruses that are endemic in the countries where our great president brought in the diseased children from. Now, the big lie is that they all come here to work. Didn't you love that one?
What?
They all come here to work. All immigrants come here to work, says Joe Biden. Does that mean the two-year-olds are going to work in factories? When? Their mothers who don't even speak Spanish, read or write Spanish, are going to work? They're not workers. They're welfare recipients. They're wards of the state. They're leeches. What do you want me to say? I'm happy about it. Who's going to pay for them? Now, of course, the churches are making billions of dollars off it. So don't expect your neighborhood priest to tell you the truth either. Look, it can get to you if you let it. Don't let it get to you. Just try to remain calm and carry on. And try to arm yourself with the truth. Michael Savage, champion for America's borders, language, and culture. Be here or be nowhere. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
This song goes out to the four horsewomen of the apocalypse in the White House whose agenda is coming apart at the seams. To the Muslim sisterhood running the country, this song goes out to you from the Savage Nation. Although your Flood America with Immigrants agenda is kind of derailed now, and Bring It All Down, Girls seems to be hit a stone wall, girls, I say don't cry yet, because it's not over till it's over, and I'm not Casey Stengel. The fact of the matter is the liberal agenda is now being seen for what it is. And what's even worse is that even though people are dying and the disease is spreading, they're continuing to spread the big lie that it's not going to spread. It's amazing how they keep going on and on and on with the big lie. Wherever I turn, the problems seem to be too large. We see a Pentagon with a spokesmouth that is so embarrassing, Rear Admiral John Kirby. I have no idea what his background is. I assume the man once flew an airplane. I don't know what he did. The man is an embarrassment. He gets up there today and he says that the Islamic State is going to take Kobani and may even take Baghdad, but we can't do anything about it. And he says the airstrikes are not going to do it alone. That's because Obama is not using airstrikes at all. They're show strikes. They're not airstrikes. They're show strikes. Because he wants ISIS to take over Iraq. And then they want to see Syria fall to the anti-Christians. That's exactly what's going on, in my opinion. It's too much for one man to handle. You remember the book Atlas Shrugged? Well, I'm not Atlas, and I'm not shrugging. But there's only so much of a burden any man can take. And let me tell you something. We'll reach a point. Maybe we have reached the point of no return. I knew that liberalism was a mental disorder, and I knew it a long time ago. I saw it in some old friends of mine. I most especially saw it in liberals who were my relatives who I don't speak to anymore. I knew they were brainwashed. They were middle class. They did well in America, yet they identified with my grandfather who came here with nothing, a few cents in his pocket. They all thought that they were illegal immigrants, or rather at that time legal immigrants, landing in Ellis Island and hating the white man. They've never changed. Look at Boca Raton. Look at the area around Boca Raton, filled with people living off the fat of the land, never did better in their lives, and they hate America. How do you figure that? Now we have Ebola, and we see the most incompetent administration in history. It is so criminal that it borders on the insane. And what are they doing to stop the Ebola epidemic? What would you do to stop the Ebola epidemic? Let's start with common sense. You'd stop all flights from Western Africa. That's a no-brainer. Several nations have done so. And as I've said on the Savage Nation for the last 3 days, the surrounding African third world nations have stopped flights from the plague-ridden nations into theirs. What does that tell us? It tells us that third world dictatorships in Africa have more intelligent leadership than we have from the White House. They have smarter leaders than we do. It's common sense. You stop all flights. You don't let people come in from those countries. You prohibit all travel in and out, or you send aid workers who want to go there, but you don't let them back in unless they have cleared the protocols of not having any symptoms of the disease. But it doesn't seem to be taking, because we have a psychosis in the political structure that will kill all of us. And I don't have an answer for you right now. I was laying in bed this morning thinking of Abraham Lincoln, a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. I said, now we have a government of who? Of the special interests, by the special interests, and for the special interests. A government of thieves, a government of criminals. And they're not protecting ourselves nor themselves. Perhaps they're not even able to do so. It doesn't matter whether he wants it here or doesn't want it here. He may as well be bringing it in because he's not stopping it from coming in. Pentagon sees Baghdad at risk of Islamic State takeover, expects Kobani to fall. They want it to fall. Everywhere you turn, there is a disaster as a result of the Obama administration. You say, well, good, we know that. What else is new? Well, what else is new is that the Democrats will not let go of their agenda, no matter what happens, even an epidemic that's going to kill people, will not help them change their mind. Are you telling me that Debbie Wasserman Schultz in Florida can ever admit that she's a psychotic that belongs in Creedmoor Mental Hospital? Are you telling me that Harry Reid will ever let go of his greedy little paws, will ever let go of a dollar that comes his way? Are you telling me that Dianne Feinstein, the head of the Senate Intelligence Committee, listen to that one. Here we have a raging epidemic that's killing people, and this moron, Dianne Feinstein, has nothing to say. What is she doing in the Senate Intelligence Committee? The fact of the matter is, the approval rating is at 7% of Congress. 7%. It means that we have an illegitimate government. So wherever you turn, there's a disaster. I didn't create it. I'm just the harbinger of bad news. Don't blame me. Everywhere you turn, because of the incompetence and the criminality, the country is imploding like Chernobyl. Actually, the country looks to me right now, I hate to say it, it almost feels like the Twin Towers have been hit, and the country's sort of imploding on itself. I've never seen anything quite like this. There's nothing in the government that's working. Nothing. Tell me what's working in the government. Let me be positive. All of you who think that I'm being a doubting Thomas, tell me what is working. Let's start with the U.S. Postal Service. That used to be a laughingstock, remember? Now, under Obama, the entire country's become like the U.S. Postal Service. But there's no Federal Express to save us from this man. Where is Hillary Clinton now that we have an Ebola epidemic raging out of control? She got nothing to say. What, she trying to figure out which way the wind blows and what to say? Yes. A real leader in the wings there, waiting in the wings. Everyone knows what common sense would dictate. Stop the flights from Western Africa, close the borders, period, end of story. Now we're hearing Jesse High Jackson, the race hustler out there saying, oh, they're not being treated because they're black. You hear this one? You got to hear it if you didn't. Listen to clip 10 now. This is something to behold. Listen to this one.
He had symptoms, came to the hospital, was turned away. He came back and lay there for 3 days, really on oxygen and drip and bed, sleeping in the death until we began the protest.
Shut up. Darn, I can't stand him. He was treated the way anybody would be treated. Yeah, he was given oxygen and a drip in bed. And what'd you give him? Nothing but the dripping greed that comes off your lips every time you speak. 4 years ago, Obama scrapped a proposed Centers for Disease Control rule, which gave the federal government the right to block ill travelers from entering the country. Now, why do you suppose the sickos at the ACLU wanted quarantine powers to be lifted? Meanwhile, the State Department is refusing to ban travel from West Africa to the United States, despite calls to do so from Democrat Representative Alan Grayson. Grayson first requested a travel ban back in July, after the first Ebola cases broke out in West Africa. And by the way, at the same time, many countries in Africa are now prohibiting people who come from nations from entering their country. What does that mean? It means that third world African dictators have more common sense than our dictator, President Barack Obama. It's that simple. And we're told, don't worry, we're in charge. There's the liar from the CDC again telling you they're in charge. Don't worry. There's Obama telling you we need open borders. There's John Kerry saying that we need borders to remain open. They're all conducting a criminal act against the American people. It's going to get very serious when more and more people start falling from these diseases. Whatever it is, right now the CDC is lying to America, holding a press briefing on the Ebola outbreak. Can we dip back into that, mumbling about how safe we all are and not to worry? Do we have that, Robert?
System, or to anyone who's participating in the process of burial. We have one last question, and that'll...
Oh, you're doing real good, Friedkin. Your mother must be very proud of you. Look at this. She sent you to medical school. Look what you wound up doing with your mouth and your brain.
And Kent Brantley, but there was another patient who was brought here to Atlanta.
Turn it off. I can't listen. I can't listen. I can't listen to the government media complex. I can't take it. So let's go to some news headlines here. Five U.S. airports to fever screen travelers from Ebola epicenter. Travelers arriving from Ebola-stricken countries in West Africa will start to have their temperatures taken. Now, that's interesting. Is it going to be oral or the other way? Are they going to get special TSA agents to do the thermometers? Yeah. Where are they going to do it, in a private room in the back or what? Travelers arriving from Ebola-stricken countries will have to have their temperatures taken? Ooh, I don't like that story. Is there going to be a special class of TSA agent that uses thermometers? I don't know how that's going to work. I guess they do them by finger now, don't they? They don't have to put the thermometer in your under your tongue anymore. I remember my childhood. It wasn't very pleasant. All the fevers I had. I don't know. Maybe that screwed me up. Who knows? But today they do it by putting some device on your finger. They can see what your temperature is. All right. It would make more sense, of course, to just close the borders. Yep. Stop the flights from West Africa. Yup. Spain euthanizes pet dog of Ebola-infected woman. Okay. UN medic tests positive for Ebola. Oh, uh-huh. First Ebola patient diagnosed in the U.S. dies. I guess they should erect a statue to him because he was a real victim of America's indifference, I think. Thomas Eric Duncan should go next to George Washington, or perhaps they should put a statue of him on Mount Rushmore because he slipped through the cracks. We didn't treat him properly. If we had only gone to Liberia earlier and given billions of dollars, this death could have been avoided. I mean, he should be on Mount Rushmore, a new American hero now. What else is in the news? Violence in Turkey. Thanksgiving is what, a month and a half? Violence in Turkey? What, they're fighting over a turkey? Oh, police clash with Kurds, demanding action on ISIS. Well, Turkey's becoming an Islamist nation, and the poor Kurdish people who are trapped in Turkey are trying to say, action on ISIS, and so the police attack the Kurds, not ISIS. I get it. ISIS fighting Kobani cause for alarm in Turkey. U.S. prods Turkey over an action. Palestinian protesters and Israeli police clash at Jerusalem Holy Site. Oh, here we go again. Justice Kennedy allows gay marriage in Nevada, keeps Idaho on hold. How does that... I don't understand. How could Justice Kennedy allow gay marriage in Nevada but keep Idaho on hold when the people voted? Who made him God Almighty? I guess we did. Justice Kennedy allows gay marriage in Nevada, keeps Idaho on hold. That's a real important story in an age of Ebola, really. I mean, it's like last decade's issue. I would think all the gays in America should line up against open borders, frankly. That would make sense to me. This is the Savage Nation. Here's a headline. New York PD cop steals money and pepper sprays others. The Internal Affairs Bureau is investigating an incident where a cop allegedly took $1,000 in pay earnings from one man and pepper sprayed a second man and a woman. During a stop and frisk, he took the watch off the man's hand. Oh, my God. Oh, boy. I don't know. I don't believe these creeps that he arrested. Not at all. Nah. I don't believe it at all. It's more racial garbage put out by the lawyer who works for, of the type of lawyer that works for a Sharpton. It's a lawsuit against the NYPD. It's that simple. I pity the cops. I don't know how anyone could be a cop in this sick nation of ours when you have such criminals running the Civil Rights Division of the Justice Department. Anytime a cop does his job, they're considered a criminal. And every time a criminal does his job, they're considered a victim. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. The only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CO-I-N.
Michael Savage, weekdays from noon till 3 on Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
All we really know is that if one treatment for the Americans at Emory, one treatment for the American in Nebraska, one treatment for Eric in
Dallas. Shut up. Get him off my show. What a demagogue. Can you believe Jesse Jackson? We know he was perhaps the worst American in American history. If you had a constellation of the worst people in American history, would he not be in the top three? He'd win the prize. Now he's jumping in on the Ebola epidemic and saying that we didn't treat the West African well enough. He didn't get the proper medical care. And he trained a relative of the African who brought us Ebola, Josephus Weeks. Listen to clip number 7. If you really want to get angry and sick, listen to this.
Well, yeah, we're being mistreated. We're being, again, stigmatized. We call and, you know, get the phone hang up on. We stay on hold for 30 minutes.
Oh, well, you're the only
call,
one.
We get bounced around.
How do they know you were black on the phone? I don't believe this. So we have an Ebola epidemic out of control. We have a doofus for a president. The CDC director should be arrested for what he's doing, lying through his teeth. Why am I getting so excited? One man cannot save this world. I can't do it. Listen, I got to read you a letter I just received from my publisher about Stop the Coming Civil War. You want me to go behind the curtain with you? Well, here it is. Dear Michael Savage, Stop the Civil War is selling incredibly well, and we're on our way to a fifth printing today. Management has asked me to provide you with this recap of the sales history thus far and our continuing efforts. Your listeners are going to love hearing this. We arranged a 50% discount with Barnes & Noble and pushed them to increase their initial buy prior to publication. Prior to the on-sale date, we printed another 10,000, so we had 65,000 books in print. Michael, you've done a phenomenal job of sending your listeners to the stores. Here's the most amazing thing. Your listeners are the most responsive we've ever seen. So, Michael Savage, we have ordered another 25,000 books that will arrive early next week. And we will order another fifth printing today. Here's the big news, folks. When you hit the New York Times list next week, the book will be moved to the front of all the stores and will be on the bestseller tables and walls everywhere. So people, listen, that's when it's going to happen. Please tell your listeners about 5 printings and how every bookstore chain is chasing this and can't keep up with demand. So even though I'm not on these channels, even though you think they're hiding the bookstores know it's a phenomenon. And she asked me to tell my listeners to buy some books for friends, relatives, for senators and congressmen. And today I've been talking about reaching Republicans. Of all people, they should be interested in the book. The whole book is about stopping the Civil War and having them cause a revolution at the ballot box by throwing out the Democrats. So, Michael Savage, congratulations on an excellent start. And thank you and all of your listeners for their efforts with Stop the Coming Civil War. Regards, your publisher, whose name will remain anonymous, okay? The lunatic running the CDC should be impeached for incompetence and lying. He's saying the intensity of the Ebola spread is unseen since AIDS. Fire him, arrest him for letting this happen. Jesse Jackson's trying to cash in on it, saying we all owe the African better care. You hear this? Can you believe this? Customs agent says we're not prepared. Marine Corps is holding a pandemic outbreak drill. The Health and Human Services Division is saying there may be more Ebola cases. The stock market is swinging up and down. Airplane cleaners are striking at LaGuardia. They don't want to get Ebola. Gee, they must be racist. The feds are scrambling to calm the public on Ebola. More lies from Obama about Ebola. Yeah, if you like this disease, you can keep this disease. Meanwhile, Obama is in L.A. raising money with Gwyneth Paltrow, two American haters, two peas in a pod. Unbelievable to me. Let's swing over to MichaelSavage.com, home of Borders, Language, and Culture. Majority of Americans want flights banned from Ebola countries. Tell that to President Ebola. Experts now fear that Ebola could spread through the air. Well, Obama spread through the air, waves. So why can't Ebola spread through the air? An investigator claims he was told to delay the Secret Service prostitution report until after the election. That's the Chicago way. Okay, you got that? Got milk? Savage warns of a second civil war, which we're trying to avoid. Throw the Democrats out. Put the Republicans in. And then we will lobby them at town hall meetings. We will harass them until they close the borders, make English the language of the land, and curtail all immigration and cut back on welfare. This is Michael Savage, an immigrant son, saying God bless America.
Savage.